Love Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with a mover and shaker in the entertainment world. I am very happy to introduce today's guest, Roy Albrighton. He is the man behind the legendary prog rock group Nectar. But before I introduce Roy, I want to play a track from his latest CD. This is Crying in the Dark.
Thank you.
Hello, Roy, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Simon. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
It sounds like we have similar accents. Would I be correct in assuming that you're in England?
I am, yeah. I'm smack in the middle of England, right near Birmingham.
Birmingham. Wonderful,
yeah.
Wonderful part of the world. Maybe we could start with a little history of Nectar. It started, I think, round about 1969, and there was some dead time somewhere in the 80s and 90s, and then started back up 2000. Fill us in. What happened?
Well, that's about, date-wise, that's about right, Simon. 69, I was passing through Hamburg with another band, and there was a band already resident at the Star Club in Hamburg. And during the day, there was really nothing going on in Hamburg because it's a nighttime city, obviously. And so just walking around Hamburg, I passed the Star Club and heard a drummer rehearsing. Well, the doors were always open for the cleaners. So I popped in there, and that's where I met Ron Howden. And he was just practicing on his own. And I said, oh, do you do this every day? He said, yes, I do. He says, nothing else to do. I said, well, nor have I. Do you mind if I jump in with you in the daytime and just play along with you? And that's exactly how Nectar started. Then I was about to leave back to the UK, and Ron happened to mention that their guitarist that was with their band was wanting to leave. And I said, well, I'm at a bit of a loose end when I get back. I have nothing else planned, so give me a shout if you're interested, and we'll come over and see if it works together. A few months later, that would be November 69, I got a telegram then. There was no such thing as emails. It was a telegram that came in by pigeon. And I said, yes, Colin, guitarist is leaving. Come on over. So I popped over on the boat, and I stayed, and Nectar formed.
What is the current lineup of the band?
Okay, the current lineup now is Ron, of course, one of the originals, myself, one of the originals, and we have now on keyboards a German musician. His name is Klaus Hennatsch, and the bass player is also German. He's Peter Peichel.
Well, one of the slightly strange things, at least in my mind, was that Nectar seemed to have a far bigger following in Germany and here in the States than they ever garnered in the UK.
I think actually, Simon, that's more to do with the fact that although Nectar was all Brits and we formed in Germany, we never were really within that sort of circle, you know, your Birmingham, London sort of circle of musicians, you know, i.e. your Genesises and your Yeses and all those. We were sort of right outside of that circle, living in another country as well. And although we had a certain amount of success in the UK when we did the Roundhouse and a few other places, we never actually lived here as Nectar, and so we weren't associated with the more popular bands of that time.
You actually played the Roundhouse.
Yes, we did. One of our older live albums was Live at the Roundhouse. That came out in 74, I believe, or 75.
Oh, wow. Was this when the BBC was involved with the Roundhouse? Or?
That's right, yeah. It was actually the Pi Mobile that was sitting outside that recorded the show.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm old and very long in the tooth.
Join the club, Simon.
Right. I remember all these, you know, great times. In fact, I lived in England until 1980, and I was appalled with what happened to the music scene in the late 70s. suddenly Prague, which was a wonderful, wonderful genre of music, was dead, and everyone was shouting, "Long live punk!" What are your memories of those really, really dark times?
Well, I was actually in London exactly the time that that sort of kicked off, and I used to go around some of the like Camden Locks and around that area, and I used to see some of these new bands starting up that were eventually to be called sort of the punk, you know, era. And like you, you know, I find that artistic music, such as, if you name it prog, we can name it whatever you like, art rock or whatever, did come to a sort of quick end. And I was watching these younger bands come through, and I wouldn't say it was disappointing watching it. What I would say would be it was so far left that your immediate reaction is not to like it. And then you think, well, you know, why would the kids want to like what the grown-ups are listening to? They want something fresh and new and something of their own. And that's exactly what punk rock was at the time. It was something for the kids, that the kids can say, that's ours, Dad, that's yours. And I think that's the only reason that punk took off, because, you know, the musical content of punk isn't exactly up the top of the ladder, really, but it's something that the kids could associate to. It was fresh, and it was I don't give a damn type of music. You know, okay, so it's only three chords, so what, we like it. You know, fine, good and fair enough to them, but, you know, like you, it's not exactly my cup of tea.
The one thing that I noticed, and I guess I was part of the crowd, musicians were leaving England in droves. Mm. You know, some like Keith Emerson basically went on a hiatus in the Bahamas. Al Stewart went on tour and just never came back. Did you ever consider just, you know, bailing, going, just getting the hell out of Dodge?
Well, I actually did. The last album that Nectar made, which was in 75, and it was Recycled. And after Recycled, then came the punk era. When I got back to London, the punk era started. And I just lost all interest in creating, playing, or anything to do with music. And I was out of the game for a long time. You know, I just had no interest whatsoever. And it was only after hospitalization that I came back to my senses, as you might say, and thought, what the hell, I don't know how to do anything else other than this. So, you know, then I came back into the fray again, which was in 2000.
Mm. Nectar had a reputation for having the best light show ever. Is that still a major feature of the band?
Well, I'll agree with you there. Nectar, back in the 70s, did have the best light show that was around at the time. It's not so much a feature now. We sort of base our show more on what the musicians are doing, and people can see what we're doing and enjoy seeing the musicians play, whereas back in those days, you know, the technology of having lasers and that didn't exist. And so the musicians were basically in the dark on the stage more than they were in the light. So people were just watching the backdrops, and they weren't and listening to the music. They weren't watching what the musicians were performing, which was great for each time. And the effects that Mick Brockett, who was running the lights then, was getting was absolutely phenomenal for the equipment that was available. These days, I've seen light shows which are just absolutely unbelievable. I mean, so unbelievable, you couldn't imagine taking that kind of a show on the road with you, unless it's already available at the venue you go to. So we've reverted back to just having good mood stage lighting for the sections of music we go through, and maybe we'll have a digital camera just to project one or two things at the back, but nothing really fancy. But we do like to change the mood with the lights more often than not, to go with the music that we actually play.
Right. I reviewed a DVD not very long ago. It was
Pure
Genesis.
Ah.
Playing. I think the title was Live in Rome, and I have never ever seen a light show like it. I mean, I have no clue how they created it. I mean, it was just an amazing, amazing thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Simon, for that kind of size lighting rig or size lighting array, as you might want to call it, you have to play the big arenas, because then if you're going to fill those kinds of big arenas, then you can afford to put that kind of a light show on. What Nectar now, we're not exactly the first that comes to the lips of a household name these days, but we want to make it so that we can bring out Nectar music to the pub, more accessible to the people. Now, whether it be a 500 or a 5,000 seater, so that they can see and hear the music more places than not. You know, otherwise, I mean, we're not geared up for the big auditoriums anymore. I suppose if we had a number one hit overnight, that might be a different story. But we can't take that kind of a show on the road with us. It would just be impractical.
Right. You're heading stateside in a day or two. What's that all about? What venues are you going to be playing at?
Okay, the first one is the Rites of Spring Festival, short as Rustfest. That'll be on the on Friday, the 1st of May, over there in Philadelphia. The second, we travel down to Virginia to play Jax, then Springfield, Virginia, I believe it's called. Sunday, the 3rd, we're heading back to Philadelphia, which is the day that the Rustfest actually finishes. And at midnight, if everybody comes over to the Hilton Hotel, we're going to do a special 40th anniversary of Nectar acoustic show, playing most of the Nectar songs, but done in an entirely different way than you ever heard before.
Are you going to be recording that one?
Well, we've already asked several people to come down to record it for us, so yes, it will be recorded. And,
wow.
And then last day, the 4th, we're playing the concert hall in New York, and on the 5th we fly back. So short and sweet, as I might say.
I would say so. It sounds like you're going to be fairly busy for a few days.
I think so, yes.
Prog rock is without doubt my absolute favorite genre. I can't remember if it was Oliver Wakeman, that'd be Rick Wakeman's son who's following in Dad's footsteps, or if it was Clive Nolan. I interviewed both of them a few months ago. One of them came out with this wonderful comment: prog is like cricket. It's a minority sport. Always has been, always will be. Now, what's your view on prog? Is it growing or shrinking in popularity?
I think progressive rock, whatever tag you want to give it, will never go away. I mean, people will want something more than just pop music. And they'll want some alternative to jazz, and they'll want alternative to funk. They'll want something which has melody in it, has rock and roll in it, and has ballady parts to it, and takes you from mood to mood, and keeps bringing that theme back in a different way and reminding you. It's all about memories, and I don't believe it'll ever go away. I'm not sure whether or not it'll ever become as popular as it was back in the 70s, but it certainly won't go away. And I do believe that the younger generation now are discovering progressive rock. Because I've noticed in the audiences that come to see us, we play obviously one or two places for the second time over a period of 3 years. And the people that come along, they bring their son, although their son is probably 25, 30 years old, but they bring them along, and they're bringing their friends along and I see the audience is getting younger and younger to our kind of music. And so I think it's been passed down from generation to generation. And I think it's picking up and it's getting more popular than it ever was before.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed, and I kind of went out on this mission a couple of years ago. I decided, okay, I'm going to interview all of the great people that I admired in the in the 70s, and I indeed have achieved that. there's few names that are still outstanding on my list, and the one thing that comes through is that prog rock seems to, I'm not sure what the word is. It seems to attract musicians that are classically trained. Do you have any classical training?
Well, it's funny you should say that, Simon, because that same question was asked to me only a few days ago. Where did this all stem from? And my answer was that most of the, at least in this country, as you probably know yourself, back in the back when we were youngsters, every house had an upright piano, and more times than not, the parents arranged it that their son or their daughter would have piano lessons. It was just like it was an inbred thing that you did that when you became 10 years old. You would go to piano lessons. And the thing that he taught you at piano lessons was classical. And I think that the upbringing of that, it filtered through into when you became a musician like myself or like a lot of the other musicians of my ilk. It shines through, especially when it comes to the changes, you know, the art form of the music that we write. I think that's got a lot to do with it, subconsciously, mind you, but I think that's got a lot to do with it.
That very well could be. I'll tell you what, let's take a musical break and play another track from this wonderful new live CD. This is King of the Deep.
What a shame.
wonderful stuff. I was poking around online, which is one of the things I do, and I was looking at the online equivalent of the National Enquirer here in the States, or I guess in England it would be the News of the World, a place called Wikipedia. It's notorious for being wrong. Anyway, it alludes to the fact that one of your recent CDs includes Robert Calvert. Now, if my memory serves me right, he was part of Dave Brock's outfit, Hawkwind. What's the story?
Simon, as you know, Bob Calvert passed away not so many years ago.
Right.
But Bob Calvert, we were looking for, the album, by the way, that you're mentioning, that he was on, was Down to Earth. And it was our fourth album, and it was basically based around a circus theme. But what we wanted somebody who had the voice to take on the ringmaster part for this album, as though just blurting out what the ringmaster says, you know, like, ladies and gentlemen, etc., etc. And Bob Calvert was in the neighborhood, and we invited him down. And let me tell you now this. From the moment Bob Calvert walked into the studio till he left, we were in stitches on the floor. I tell you, the man is so funny. He has a sense of humor. I've never met anybody with such a sense of humor in my life. He was so funny. And he was standing out in the studio and doing the ringmaster effects. One of them was for one of the songs, which was called Fidgety Queen. It was so funny that even the engineer had to turn the machines off because we were absolutely gasping for air. It was that funny. And he basically is the voice on this whole album as the ringmaster.
Okay. Actually, while we're talking about all things online, where can people find Nectar online?
Okay, you can listen to all of the entire back catalogue for Nectar, and that's like 18 albums. If you go to Nectar's Music, that's Nektars music.com, you can listen to the entire back catalogue by downloading. Well, you can't download it, but you can listen to everything we've done, except for, of course, the new album, which has just been released, which we're just listening to parts now. And the album itself, Fortified, is the album's name. You can buy that at the moment on that particular website. It will be released later to the usual outlets, but at the moment it is available on our website to buy, and of course it's a better deal there than you will get anywhere else anyway, because we can do that.
Right.
I've put it bluntly.
Yeah. My cut out the middleman.
Exactly.
Although, you know, it's been my experience that basically the music industry has spent many years screwing the bands, so, you know, it's hardly surprising you would take this approach.
Yeah, some have helped artists, but the most have hindered. I won't say that they're wholly responsible, but several of them are responsible for this the demise of musicians. Very, very talented people who've had a couple of hits and then they're dropped like a brick because they're not selling so many anymore. I live in Birmingham, as I just mentioned, and there are so many musicians who've made it and a lot of money, and they had no financial control. There should have been financial control over them by the record company to make sure that they're secure for the rest of their life, and they were just left to go off and spend it and, you know, put it up their nose or put it in their ears or whatever they do with it. And it's just, there was no control there at all. So I think that the coming of the musicians having to tend to their own affairs, I think, is a good thing.
Right.
first of all, you have full control of your music. Nobody's shouting down the back of your neck saying how it should be. So the artistic creativity is not hindered in any way. You can also, with the technology today, go and have your own CD finished, packaged and finished. And of course, this makes the whole thing more available to more musicians than ever before. You don't have to go on your bended knees to the record company and say, please take my CD or I'll take my music. Just produce it and put it out, you know. There are places you can do this. So I think I think it's a good thing that's happened to the music industry for us, and maybe not such a good thing for the big glomerates, you know.
All right. I find the internet an interesting anathema. I think that's a good word for it. You know, the big labels hate it. You know, they cite that the internet's the root of all evil, and you know, they talk about music piracy, and yet, you know, the independents love it. I mean, you just said that, you know, people can go to your website and that they can listen to the entire back catalogue. I love that idea. You know, the try before you buy. And I'm a firm believer that if someone likes what they hear, they're going to fess up the dollars to get the real thing.
Yes, I mean, there's no truer word spoken there. I mean, we've proved that time and time and again with since Nectar's actually been online now, it's good for a good 5 or 6 years as our official website. The only thing that I find disappointing, and that is, you probably feel the same way about this, is the days of the 12-inch vinyl. I mean, okay, technologically speaking, the 12-inch vinyl has seen its day. It's a collector's item now. Some people go out of their way to make a vinyl special edition. But what I find I miss most of all is that when you go to the record shop and you buy this big 12-inch sleeve and you've got all that information and big pictures in the side, it's something to cherish and something to collect and have it forever. Whereas a plastic case with a 12-page booklet in it just doesn't do the same thing for me. You know, that's the only thing I don't like about the coming of the CD.
Oh, I'm in total agreement with you. I remember as a kid, and in fact, I still have all of my original albums. They happen to be in Canada, but oh well. You know, at least they have a good home.
Yeah.
My daughter looks after them. But yeah, there was something splendid, particularly a double album.
Yeah, it's a gatefold. You know, yeah, it was fantastic, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean, because you opened it up and oh, it was just a wondrous thing to behold. You know, you oftentimes I wanted to frame them and put them on the wall.
When you bought one of those gatefolds and you cracked the cellophane seal and opened it up, that smell of inside there was fabulous. I love that smell. You know, that straight out of the factory.
Yeah, the good old days. Talking about the good old days, it gives us an interesting segue into the new world. As I see it, prog, there's a new generation. I guess we could even call it prog 2.0. I mean, 2.0 seems to be a very popular term these days. Mm. You know, we have people like Oliver Wakeman, Clive Nolan, and some other folks stepping up to the plate. What's your thought on prog 2.0? Do these kids have what it takes?
I think a lot of them do, but I also hasten to add, some of them have the wrong idea of what progressive rock is all about. If you want to decipher what progressive rock is, it's progressional music. It progresses from one thing to another, or progresses from one theme to another, and reiterates that theme as well from time to time. It's not a case of okay, how weird can we make this song? What weird timing can we throw in here? Which seems to be the thought behind a few of the new bands I've heard is okay, let's play this in, you know, in 9/18, you know, because they can do it. So there has to be a reason for a change in the music, not because okay, we're fed up with that now, let's move to something else. Let's really freak them out by doing this. I don't see that is anything to do with what progressive rock is all about. Although, having said that, there are a lot of acts out there which really impress me a lot. But I think several of them have got not quite the right idea of what it really is all about. I mean, they may be listening to this and going, "Oh yeah, Granddad, okay." But really, you know, it's if you break up what they're doing, it's almost as if five people are writing five different songs and they've stuck it together. And that's how some of it comes across to me, you know, which is not, there's no sort of melding of the whole idea together. It's a case of, okay, I've written this in 6/8, I've written this in, you know, 3/4, let's stick it, which is a wrong idea, that's similar timing, I know, but if you know what I'm trying to say there, it's like they stick it all together and say, oh, that's good, that's weird enough for them, and let's put it out like that, stick some vocals over the top. That's not what I would call progressive rock. But as having said that, there are some out there which are really quite stunning bands.
I really want to thank you for talking to us today. We're just about out of time. My producer is whining at me in my in my ear. It has been delightful, and I do hope that your tour, well, mini tour of of the U.S. is a huge success.
Thank you very much.
What is your next project going to be?
My next project, when I come back, I'll have the whole summer to finish off the next Nectar album. That's my job for the summer. So I never stop. I just keep going and going and going.
I do hope I will have the opportunity to listen to it and hopefully talk to you again.
Well, it's been my pleasure talking to you, Simon, and thank you very much for your time.
Great talking to you. This is Simon Barrett for Blogger News Network on the radio saying thank you to all of our listeners. Have a great day, and I'll be having some more shows very soon. Goodbye.